Good evening. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting for January 12th, 2021. We have established that we have a quorum. So I will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Teresa J. Allen. Nick Arena. Fred Blair.
Present.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Dwayne Lark.
Dwayne is present.
R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton.
Here.
Anita Sims.
Here.
Nancy Sorden. Polina Vasiliev.
Present.
Okay, that's eight.
Thank you, R. Paul. All right, I'm going to read the agenda, and then we'll go to that. Of course, first was convene the meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number two is roll call. We just completed. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four is the chair's announcements, 1 minute. Number five is minutes approval, 2 minutes. Number six is replacing our former Yahoo group email list. That's Fred Blair, 10 minutes report, question and answer. Number seven is WBAI budget presentation with General Manager Berthold Reimers. Forgot the word Reimers in there. My apology, Berthold. That's 30 minutes for report with question and answer. Number eight is essential services formula. That's 60 minutes. Number nine is reports from stations on the budget timeline progress. That's KPFT and KPFK, 2 minutes. Number 10 is old business, motion for a moratorium on central services from KPFT. Number 11 is new business. Number 12, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. So I'm going to move to adopt the agenda. Is there any discussion?
Yes, R. Paul.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
All right. First of all, it's, as we've discussed several times over these months, it's unfinished business. So I moved to change old business to unfinished business.
I'm sorry. That's correct. That is correct. Is there any objection? I'll just ask if there's any objection. Hearing none, consider it done. I think you had more, R. Paul?
I think I'll have more to say later.
Okay, I appreciate that.
This is Nancy.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I'm here. I just wanted to report in here that I'm here. Sorry.
Thank you for letting us know.
And this is Alex. I just want you to know that I am attending this meeting.
Yes, Alex, thank you for that. I was going to announce that when we got to the announcements, but I appreciate you letting people know you're here. Berthold, are you with us, by the way? I don't hear Berthold. We'll have to possibly call him. Well, let's go ahead and see. Is there anything further on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll consider the agenda adopted. Now we're going to go to chair's announcements. I'm going to do this very quickly. Tonight we'll review the budget for WBAI. WBAI General Manager Berthold Reimers will be presenting. He requested to be first on the agenda. Pacifica National Board Chair Alex Steinberg will be attending tonight's meeting. Committee member and treasurer from KPFK, Fred Blair, has set up a new email list for our use after the demise of the Yahoo groups, and it is up and running successfully. Those on the committee can see the address if they don't already have it. We will briefly discuss it and what we should do to replace our old Yahoo group list. November financials are available and have been distributed to the committee on our new list. We will review them at our next meeting. There was difficulty in distributing them because the old list, of course, is no longer working. And I'd also like to, well, I'll wait and let our Paul speak on that. Okay, so those are the announcements. And now we go to minutes approval. Our Paul, I understand you have minutes.
Yes. I move to approve the minutes of the December 8th, 2020 NFC meeting.
Yes, and they were distributed to the committee, so everybody should have seen them. Is there any objection? Hearing none, they are considered approved, subject to later amendments or change if necessary. Number six, replacing
I'm sorry.
I move
to approve the minutes of the December 22nd NFC meeting.
Yes, I thought I saw two. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider that done. Any more, Paul?
No, we're all caught up.
I think so. Thank you. And thank you for doing that. Okay, now we're on to number six, replacing our former Yahoo group email list. Fred is going to give us a brief report on the new list we're using now. We have 10 minutes for this. Are you ready, Fred?
Yes.
Go ahead, then.
Okay, thank you. At the, I think it was our December 22nd meeting, I took on the responsibility of contacting our Pacifica IT person about setting up a listserv for this committee on the Pacifica.org website, our email server. I talked to Jonathan, and he said he could do that for us, and I emailed him back with the information, people's email addresses, and the specifications we required for the listserv. I didn't hear back from him, so about 3 weeks later in January, I talked with people after the December 22nd meeting and told them I was having problems getting a response from Jonathan. So they said to go ahead with and do it myself. I had talked to Otis McKay, our other IT person from Houston, Texas, and he had suggested groups.io as being a good site. They have a free, they're basically a paid service, but they also have a free service. And so when I didn't hear from Jonathan in January, last week I went ahead on my own and set up a listserv on groups.io. Using their free service, and I mailed invitations to everybody on my list of members of this committee. So far, I believe nine of the 11 members have registered and are getting email from our list, from the new listserv I set up. But today, a few hours ago, I talked to Jonathan, and he's already gone ahead and started to set up a listserv on Pacifica.org. But I wanted to raise this issue with the committee because it's more complicated than it just seems. It turns out that Pacifica's email services have been outsourced. We used to have an exchange server where all Pacifica email was handled. And in the last couple of years, in the last four years, there's been problems developing with email for the IT people. There's been all kinds of changes that have been initiated by Microsoft and Google about spam blocking and security issues. So the upshot is that basically Pacifica has outsourced its email services to Google. And is also outsourcing some of the email services to Microsoft. Our kpfk.org email services are being handled by Microsoft Outlook 365. So there are people that have concerns about these huge corporations. It's in Google's terms of services, they tell people that they're providing them with free services, but they have the right to data mine all email passing through their servers. So I assume that takes place for Pacifica's email now too. So we potentially have two listservs available to this committee. We can get a Pacifica.org domain listserv, and which will be ready tomorrow, I'm told. Or we already have a listserv set up on groups.io. So I want to get feedback from the committee members about the nature of these listserv and what they want from it. The listserv I set up on groups.io is a private listserv. It's listed in its name is listed in the groups.io catalog, but access to it is exclusive to the members of this committee. So I'm at this point I'm going to open up questions to the people on the floor and see what the committee membership wants and what their concerns are.
Bolina to the staff.
Or Paul for staff.
Chair? Am I
there? Chair, are you there?
James?
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, oh. I was muted. I hear you now. Okay. And I was saying thank you, Fred. And I wanted to remind the committee that we had discussed this when the Yahoo groups went away, and we had decided to just do mail individually to people for a period of time until we had a discussion on this and decided what to do. In the meantime, Fred took the initiative to set up this group, and we've been using it since this morning, I think. And so it was effective, but of course it doesn't represent the final word of the committee on what we want to do. So anybody else for the stack? I have Polina and R. Paul. Go ahead, Polina.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Fred. For the initiative, I was able to sign up for the groups.io list without a problem. My question is the following. You mentioned data mining. Now, what are our options? What's the least data mineable option out of the two?
Well, groups.io on their website states that they do not data mine their users' email. Actually, they make their money off of providing email services, so they probably don't need to do that. But that's one of the things that they tout, is that they provide a secure service that's easy to use and is private, if need be. And they also provide open public services for those groups that want that. But Google very definitely does data mining on all the email that passes through their servers.
I've been using groups.io with other Pacifica entities, and it's been working well so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Polina. R. Paul?
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that Pacifica 4 years ago outsourced its email. That's great to know that everything we've been doing has been getting data mined by Google. Think about that. Every email through these things is Googleized, and people think they have executive sessions. I'm sort of puzzled here. I don't understand how it is that the Pacifica Foundation, which has people who get paid to do this stuff, need to outsource it to terrible places like Google. And by the way, .io, I'm sure, has a terms of service where it says, we can change our terms anytime we please. And what usually happens is they wait until the company waits until it gets enough, and then it changes and says, oh, yeah, we're going to data mine now that you're committed. But that's another story. The thing is, I don't understand how Pacifica has to go to things like Google when there are other options that would cost, oh, I guess, maybe a couple of hundred a year. I suppose right now I.O. is a lesser evil than Google. I'm done.
Thank you, R. Paul. I want to ask you a question. I'm going to take the stack for just a second and ask R. Paul a question and anybody else on the committee. Apparently, R. Paul didn't know that we had outsourced that. I didn't either. And I'm just wondering if anybody knows if there's a policy on this. Are we still free? We've been using Yahoo Group, so I guess we weren't affected by a policy if there was one. But I'm assuming we are still free to choose what we would prefer. And since it's financial information we're dealing with, I would think it would be a good idea to have a secure, unmined server service to be used. R. Paul, or anybody else have any comment on that?
Well, I mean, I'm just thinking of all the, you know, we send every confidential thing back and forth in email, and we write confidential on it, and it's going through the data mining process at Google. And, oh, well, I'm just kind of shocked that somebody did this. I thought, you know, oh, well. Anyway, I guess I would prefer, you know, again, lesser of two evils is I.O. at this moment to me. The other thing is I've already asked my question, so that's it.
All right. I'm not aware that there is any policy. Does anybody else know if there's a Pacifica policy on this?
James, can I say something on this?
Go ahead, Alex.
I don't know of any policy either, but I would concur that probably it's a good idea to stay away from Google because we just saw how easily Google and Twitter and these social media companies can simply take away somebody's account. I mean, they did it to somebody we detest, but this will be used against the left in the future. So I think we should be very careful about outfits like Google, and if we can find somebody else who is not going to, threaten to remove our accounts because they don't like our politics, that would be much preferable.
Thank you. Anyone else? Fred, I have a question for you. I don't know if you mentioned cost in your description of what we were doing here, but I believe you had mentioned to me earlier that there was no cost for this use of IO, which of course is a minor, but a good benefit.
Can I respond?
Yes, please. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I specifically, by the way, groups.io was suggested by Otis, our second technical person, national technical person. I explicitly signed up for the no-cost service, which should be adequate. We have our emails are stored on the groups.io server for our members to access. We have 1 gigabyte of free storage. That would probably be enough for the next year or so. As far as Google goes and Microsoft goes, I understand we are paying we are paying monthly charges for their services. And I don't want to get into any the technical issues why we've gone to email from these external sources, other than to say that the whole email scene in the last 4 or 5 years has changed with all the changes in security and spam filtering and spam filters, and it became cost prohibitive for us to do exchange. It was actually it now takes a whole group of technical experts to do to handle email and all the problems associated with email. And basically, Jonathan doesn't want to spend all his days dealing with nothing but email. So that's the financial reason we are using Google and Microsoft. And I concur. I've had some of these experiences over the last 4 or 5 years. And I don't know that we've been using Google for 4 years. It's probably less than that, but I don't know exactly when the change took place. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Fred. I think we're about to run out of time for this item. It might be time to entertain a motion on continuing with IO, either in the short term or until they decide to start data mining, or until we have further thoughts about what else we could do. Anybody have a motion they'd like to make?
Sure. Paulina will move to adopt the group.io as our current listserv for this committee.
Thank you, Paulina. Would any discussion on that? Hearing none, is there any
what
objection? Go ahead, Art Paul.
Is to adopt groups IO for the mailing list for this for the NFC. And I didn't put in listserv because that's actually a technical term which does not apply.
Thank you for correcting me. Yes, that's the motion I'm making.
By the way of discussion, do we want to put any limitation on this in terms of a length of time, or we just want to leave it open-ended, and if we decide to change, we'll talk about it when we do? Hearing no response, I'll ask if there's any objection to this motion as read by R. Paul. Hearing none, we'll consider it done. Thank you, everyone. Okay, let's go on to our next item, which is the WBAI budget presentation with General Manager Berthold Reimers. Berthold, are you here? Berthold? I did call him a little while ago. He said he was listening.
I am here.
Oh, very good. You can hear us okay? Everything's good.
Everything is good.
All right.
I'm tired of this discussion of privacy.
Okay. And Berthold, can you tell us, you sent out the supporting materials and the budget. Can you tell the committee what time that was sent so that everybody can look at it? It was sent to Nat Finance Com at groups.io.
It was 6:40.
6:40. Thank you. Thank you, Anita.
You're welcome.
Let's give everybody a moment to look at that or to locate it. And Berthold,
This is Sharon. Who was it sent from?
It was sent from Berthold Reimers. Correct, Berthold?
No, I don't have it. I don't have it.
Berthold,
I don't have it either.
James, I've received an email from R. Paul.
Yes.
So I guess I haven't received it either. Again, Our listserv only will only accept emails from members and not from non-members.
Oh, so anybody who's not signed up doesn't have it yet.
So, James, can you forward it to the group? Because I think I copied you and Anita. And let me see what I copied on it besides the group. I copied you, Anita.
And I have it.
Anita, is it possible for you to send it to the members, to everybody in the group? Can you do that?
Certainly.
I certainly appreciate that. Go ahead.
I can tell that he did send it to the group, but let me ask, was that Nancy that does not have it and Fred?
That was Sharon.
Sharon.
Nancy, Paul, did you not have it?
I don't have it.
Okay, so
Paulina,
it's R. Paul.
And Fred doesn't
Paulina,
have it.
Paulina, Wayne, do you have it?
I do not.
Okay, so
it didn't come through the groups.io. I've gotten other emails through groups.io, but I think, as was already said, if somebody from outside the group sends it, it doesn't get transmitted. So
Okay. And Bertha was outside the group.
National Finance
Thank you,
Committee,
Sharon.
Then it will work. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Sharon. That's right.
I just sent it out. Just give it a moment, and I hope I got everyone's names on there.
Okay. I apologize to everyone. This has been a clunky transition.
Just got it.
Well, it wouldn't have gone to Yahoo Groups either.
Right. That's right.
And
Yahoo Groups was gone.
Fred just got it also.
Fred just
Even
created
when it
this
was
morning.
Functional, it wouldn't have gone through to there.
Oh, because Bertol wasn't on the list. Okay, got it.
Okay, well,
okay,
I still don't have it.
And that's Sharon?
Yep.
I'll send it again, Sharon.
While that's happening, Bertol, why don't you start?
I just got it a second ago.
Oh, okay. Great.
Thank you, Paulina.
Teresa is on the call, just so you know.
Oh, hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Thanks for letting us know you're here.
And, Teresa, I'll send you the budget.
Thank you very much.
Bertol, while we wait for the others to get their copies, do you want to start?
I don't know. Is that a good idea?
Well, I don't know if you have
I was going to start straight with the budget, the numbers.
Okay. We'll wait.
I figured I'll just go straight to it. And
I thought you might have some narrative that you wanted to give, but that's okay.
I do have a narrative, but, I'll wait for everybody to. Yeah. Well, my narrative really is that I apologize for the late distribution. It was kind of a last minute, and no excuse, but I had to do the quarterly report, and then I had a 3-hour meeting with Allegiant, transferring data from our database to the Allegiant system today. And so, that took like the whole morning.
Yes.
That took the whole day.
And this was last minute, and we had to have a meeting with Anita that was last minute, so I appreciate all the effort you put into it. And Anita as well.
Thank you. Was Lawrence on the call also? Excuse me. I just sent it to him also, the budget.
No, he's not on the committee.
Okay.
Could I request, this is Sharon, since I still don't have it, could I request, Anita,
ahead,
that you send it? That
sure.
You send it to the groups? Because I have gotten your email that went, your test email, to the groups.io, so I did get those. So if you could just maybe send it to the group, you know, forward it to the group, that maybe I'll get it that way.
Just gone.
Okay, thanks. Okay, yay, I got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Thanks for being patient. Okay, everybody has it now?
This is
good.
Chris. I don't have it yet. I don't have it, James.
Oh, my.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, did you sign up for the groups.io? Chris?
No, I got the invite, but I haven't signed up for it. Should I do that right now?
No, let me send it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right,
I need
to
send it.
Yeah.
Pardon me? Is that all right?
Yes, of course. Yes, please, Anita. Did I hear someone else speaking?
I was waiting for the discussion on the groups. That's why I didn't sign up for it yet. Anyway, sorry about that.
Got it. No worry. I'll curse Yahoo in my dreams tonight.
I got it. Thank you, Anita.
You're welcome.
Wonderful.
I'm
Dwayne,
sorry,
do you have it?
I also sent it to you again for me, so sorry about that.
Dwayne, I'm okay. I'm just going to ask again. Does everybody now have it?
Yes.
Hearing. Okay, hearing no one that doesn't, why don't you go ahead now, Bertol? Thank you.
Are we ready?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, so I don't know if you want me to start with the spreadsheet, the budget, or actually the PowerPoint presentation. I think I'll start with the budget, you know, very basic. This is the WBI budget. It is the budget, 2020 BI budget, 2020-07-13. That's when it was presented to the, I believe, the LSB or the LSB Finance Committee, 4K without personnel information. Okay, so if you look at that budget, basically it's showing at the first line, row 4, the assumed revenue per month for fund drive and fundraising. So we are projecting $1.02 million for listener support, 27,000 donations below 1K, that's different, 501K, website income 48,000, four-point match, 17,000. WBI Buddy. Buddy is, we keep on calling it Buddy at BAI, but what it is a sustained donor, people who are donating regularly at to WBAI. Every month we take $10, $15, $5 from their account. So we're projecting $15,000 a month. Interest income, that's just something that happens to the banks. The thing that, you know, I'm going to bring that to your attention right now, the community event and the 43,000 and the craft fair with David Rottenberg are the challenges that have come up due to COVID. And then grant request 35,000, I mean, we're actually under projecting. So we are projecting a total revenue of $1.4 million for the year. And your salaries are just a regular. That hasn't really changed from the previous years. Actually, you see to the right, the previous years are low. If you see the salary between salary and related expenses, line 30 and line 32, if you add those two together, they come close to the the column AB the previous year. We have reduced our salary a little bit because, for example, we had a development director who left, and we're supposed to replace that. So that's about $6,000 per month between salary and health benefits. But I left it there. I left it in the budget. You know, so I'm over-projecting expenses to be safe. But, you know, we're just working our butts off right now to get the job done as much as we can, as long as we can, you know, to save money. So that puts you at a total expense of $1.3 million, revenue of $1.4 million. And then once you add central service, then we go on a deficit of $109 million.
This is Sharon. I have a point
of
information.
I mean, $109,000.
Sorry. Sharon, let's let him finish a presentation, and then we'll ask questions. Is that okay?
My information is I can't understand what we're looking at right now. I can't understand what document we're looking at and what page we're on, what line we're on.
Okay, we're looking at the document labeled WBAI budget.
And the spreadsheet is what he is.
That's right. And he was down at line 30 and 33.
I can go over that very quickly for you, Sharon, if you
okay,
you
no, I, excuse me, I'm sorry. Maybe it's just my issue with Excel, but I have what I'm looking at goes from line 2 to line 177. I don't see anything in between there. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. What am I doing wrong?
You may have.
Are you on a phone or a computer? You have to scroll.
A computer.
You may
have
scroll,
you have to scroll.
Hold on. You may have to click on...
Oh, I see it. Okay, thank you. Yep, thank you. I'm sorry. I just was totally confused there. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And then we're talking about the column AA. Column AA, which is the total for the year.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And so, you know, our net projected deficit is $134,000. So now, how did we come to that? Well, the first thing is revenue assumption. There's another sheet on that spreadsheet that says assumptions next to budget FY 2020. If you click on that assumption sheet, and then you scroll all the way up, basically shows you all the way up. If you scroll all the way up, it basically shows you that we are projecting to make $100,000 a month gross in listener fund support, fund drive. If you compare that to the previous year, which is really 2019, it's not 2018, I can change that mistake. 2019, it gives you more or less what we did. So the way this works is that we have been doing a lot of fund drives. We've had December, February, May drive, July drive, October drive, and we have, you know, drive in between. We do 30 days, 35 days nonstop, you know, preempting all day. And so that has decimated our listenership. So what we decided to do is we had implemented something called a 52-week schedule, where we do 3.5 to 4 hours of fund drive a day, and then we spread it out. So in other words, any show is never preempted more than once a month, so that way they can keep their listenership. And so, you know, listeners listening to BAI would not get the feeling that, well, today I can turn it off because there's fund drive. No, they cannot turn it off because they have no idea when we are going to interrupt for 1 hour, or when we're going to have a great programming in between. So we do 3 hours a day. Some days we do 1 hour a day. Some days we do 5, depending on how it falls as we put together the schedule. So that's the thing that's the unproven thing that we have been doing. And so that's where we are right now. Any questions on okay, also, out of the $100,000 gross pledge, we assume that we are making 78.3% fulfillment rate. However, we are making over 85% fulfillment rate. So that also gives me another cushion for any other overestimation of revenue or whatever that I do. So I have a little cushion because I know there's going to be more money coming in than the 78%. In other words, if I come short some month, but I do 85, 87%, it might make up for the shortfall of the month. So that's the premise of, conceiving this budget.
Bertolt, I'm going to ask you, I want to ask you to clarify a couple of things before I open it up to questions, but I didn't mean to interrupt you, so go ahead.
Okay, so, I'm trying to figure out how to present this to you. But I think number one issue we have right now with our budget are the community event and the David Rothenberg theater tickets. Because obviously, no one is going to Broadway, and then no one is selling theater tickets, or we're not doing any events at SOBs where we, like three times a year where we generate like $12,000 to $15,000 on net for the event. So therefore, those assumptions, we're going to have to do something to make up for that. Now, I'd like you to open the PowerPoint presentation that I put together. That's something that I did put together for the LSB a while back. I think I went over that with also ARPOR and the WBI local finance committee. I'm not sure ARPOR. I don't remember. No, I did not. Okay. So I put this together for the LSB because they would be less familiar with the report. You have the PowerPoint open.
Paulina, yes,
we do.
Well, that's the one with the purple color in it. For anybody who's looking for it.
Yes.
Chair, this is Paulina, if I may be recognized.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Yeah. I think Bertolt, you said that you would take questions at this point, or are we skipping questions until the presentation, at the PowerPoint?
It's all up to you. I mean.
Yeah, if you want to, Bertolt, I think you did imply that you were going to pause and take some questions, but if you think you'll answer some questions by continuing, I don't know what you want to do. People can take notes on questions that they have, and if they're not answered, they can ask them. But if you wish to pause, you may. If you want to continue, you can.
Well, it seems that Paulina has a question, so I'll take it.
That's all right. Go ahead, Paulina.
Sure, and I hope that I'm not asking something that will have been answered after you present the PowerPoint. But how long have you had this new model of doing the 3 or 4 hour a day fund drive pretty much every day? How long has you had that in place, and how successful has it been?
Okay, that's a good question. That's a great question. Well, actually, we have had that.
Bertolt, are you off mic?
No, we've had that ad hoc version for a very long time. I would say since at the AI, because what happened is once we missed the October drive, when we came back, we were in a situation where we missed one of the most productive months. And so we had to kind of improvise. So we started doing fund drive all the time. We had to raise cash quickly. So we have been doing this, but not systematically. We started doing this systematically.
Bertolt, the car
probably around July.
Bertolt, could you suspend for a moment? It's hard to hear you. It almost sounds like you're breaking up. but I think you might be off mic. Can you speak directly into your microphone?
I'll get off the speakerphone. Is that better?
It is better, yes. Thank you.
Okay, I'll get off speaker. Okay, so we have been doing this ad hoc since after the coup because we needed to get cash quickly in to operate. And then we've been, mixing it up, bastardizing it. And then around July, August of 2020, we started implementing it slowly, doing this regularly, a few days a week. And then we went full-fledged, really, in August, September. It has been somewhat successful. If you look at from October to December, which is the first quarter of the fiscal year 2021, we have raised from 70,000 in October to close to 88,000 in December, and so we are tweaking it. December was the most successful month. We realized that what we need to do is we need to be strict about the 3.5 hours per day of fundraising. The goal is to average about $1,200 per hour plus or minus. So that would give you about $3,575 per day. And it's been challenging at times, especially in November. We had 2 days of Pacifica Radio Archives, 1 day of our national fundraising day. So those shows we preempted, we could not preempt them again for our schedule. So we allowed them to go on, and then we had a few specials about the elections. So it's a work in progress. And the flexibility is that we can do specials. Like we are planning now to do specials whenever we start projecting that we're going to be short a month. We'll do a 1 or 2 day special, but we're trying our best not to do that.
Got it. One 15 second follow up, if I may, Chair.
Uh huh.
Yes, go ahead.
So are you basically doing a full hour long specials, or are you doing inserts as well, like 2 or 3 or 5 minute inserts during regular programming?
We are doing both. We are doing 3.5 hours. Our program director has been highly involved in editing 1 hour pitch into a succinct half an hour, because we have a lot of half an hour show now. We have the news at 6, and at 6:30 we have behind the news. So we have a lot of half an hour pitch that would generate a quick $600. The goal is to have every show pitch all the time. In other words, every time you have a regular show, you're always saying, for the last 5 minutes of your show to donate to WBAI. One example of that was Dream Leaper. This past Friday, Michael Herrick Dyson, who presented his book, and then she made $600 on the regular show. I mean, just regular show, not offering any premium. So that's the idea. The idea is that every show should still be generating money, and then we insert a full hour of a pitch show. And ideally, we would get rid of the full hour of pitch show, and then we would have that. But we know that that's not working right now. So that's what we are doing. It's hard to bring into people's head the idea that if you're not preempted, you're doing a regular show, you also have a responsibility to pitch and try to generate a good $200, $300. And if every show did that and was successful at that, this would be a total success. So that's the next step, to try to project that to the producers, and then remind them regularly. Also, the board app that needs to pitch every time there's a transition from one show to another.
Bertolt, I'm going to ask you to clarify something. Most people on this committee probably don't know who David Rothenberg is or what he does. You mentioned that. Could you just flesh it out a little bit, very briefly?
What was that again?
David Rothenberg. You mentioned him, but I don't think most people know who he is or what he does. Could you just explain that a little bit?
Okay, David Rothenberg is, you know, used to be on Broadway with, you know, connected to Frank Sinatra and all the superstars of the times a while back. And so it was really connected to Broadway, and he gets tickets. Theaters are never full, so they're always overflow. They always like to have their theaters full. So he has the connections and gets all the empty seats. And then he offers them on BAI on Saturdays from 8 to 10 a.m. And then he offers them for $100 or something like that. These are tickets that are worth like $300, $400. And so he generates a good $5,000 a month. He used to do more in the past. And that has been totally destroyed with the COVID thing for now.
Thank you, Bertolt. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah. Bertolt, I'd like you to clarify something about page 5 of the PowerPoint. If you notice, I'm assuming that 2020, that's only part of the year's revenue there that you have listed. I remember seeing this PowerPoint at one of our LSB meetings 2 or 3 months ago, so it's a little bit dated in that respect. So that's one thing. The other thing is, do you have any idea why the fulfillment rate dropped between 2019 from 89% to 82% in 2020?
Okay, so that's a matter of, as you can see, it's only 622,000 so far when that was done in July. There's a lag. You know, I mean, we send letters to our listeners. You know, they send a check, and then so we update that data. I can probably find out our fulfillment rate for you right now. I can go into the system and find what is our fulfillment rate in 2020.
So, Bertolt, those numbers were—that's half of the year. Is that right for 2020?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
So in 2020, the gross premium is 1.117303.97, and the fulfillment rate is 954.475.82.
And the fulfillment rate goes up through the year as people's donations trickle in. You don't always get them right away. The fulfillment can stretch out for quite a while.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
Yes, this is Sharon. I have a question.
Go ahead, Sharon.
I would like to be on.
Yeah, so by the way, fulfillment rate is 85% right now in 2020. Alex.
Okay. Glad to hear.
Yeah.
I hear Sharon and R. Paul, and I want to hear from Anita. Anita, would you like to join after R. Paul?
Absolutely.
Okay, and then we need to move on because we have to get to the central services formula, but would somebody else asking for the floor?
Chris Corey for the staff.
I thought I heard somebody. Okay, Chris. All right, let's go ahead with Sharon.
Well, I just have a simple question. I'm just curious, in the 2021 WBAI budget, that Excel sheet, when you look at the line of October 20th, line O there, why are some of the entries blue? Does that mean something, that they're blue there?
No, that was just the beginning of the year, so I was looking at items. Also, that might have had something to do with Apple giving me a hard time in the WBI Local Finance Committee, asking questions about specific stuff. You know, but as you can see, column O.
Yes, like, Bertolt likes to sprinkle little colors around. He does that.
Okay.
And you meant our Paul was giving you a little trouble in a good way, right, Bertolt?
Well, he asked for clarification, and we changed a few numbers based on the committee's request.
So this was a working document back in the middle of 2020?
Yeah.
Yes, got it. Back when we were originally discussing the budget. Sharon, were you done?
Yep.
Okay, our Paul.
Okay, the first thing I need to say is I was very surprised when I got the email today from the chair saying that we were going to do the BAI budget tonight. I didn't know about it till I saw that. I think it's a really bad idea to cut the treasurer of the LSB out on when his station's budget is going to come to the NFC. It's unprofessional, and I could describe it in several other ways. So I object to that. And also, let me say, this is a deficit budget, and that is a problem. And the local finance committee considered this for some number of months, and what you're seeing is what we let out. And the local finance committee voted to send it to the LSB with no recommendation. And then it went to the LSB, and the LSB heard about it, and nobody, not a single person at the LSB, decided to move to accept this by the LSB. Part of the issue here is it is a deficit budget. I don't have a ton of faith that these numbers are going to be as good as they look right now. So there is that. I think management has been making the effort. Management's making an effort to make things better, to raise money, because what we need is revenue. That's the one thing we need. And so management has been doing that. I don't know that we are going to be getting to a bottom line that's only 109 grand in the red. So people should know about it. Also, yeah. the assumptions are a kind of rosy, and you probably should not look past about line 23 in the assumptions. Otherwise, you'll see ancient history that has no meaning, and which I have recommended the general manager remove because it looks awful. All right, that's pretty much what I have to say right there. This is the best we're going to be able to do, and so there.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Paul. I'd like to talk to that a little bit.
So
I think Jim Sargentin mentioned to me that he's thinking about improving the BIS budget because that might be the next item on the agenda about 2 days ago. And I really started looking at it again about yesterday, seriously, and then today I really put another 2 hours going over it. But obviously it was pretty well presented and put together. So I just kind of reviewed it and so that, you know, this is basically what I did as far as presenting it to the board to make it very simple and clear. It is a deficit budget. As you said, what's rosy about it is the community revenue because of the COVID. I projected that around November, December, this would be gone. Obviously, we didn't know that our administration was going to be so competent. So these assumptions are a little off. One of the things that that has to be put into consideration here that was not considered is we have a $200,000 bequest that we received the papers that the bequest shall be coming because the person died and the money, there's been a few hiccups and then the lawyers are still running the paperwork. I was expecting that money to come in like earlier in September 2020,
and then they're still working on the numbers, on the legal aspects of it. Based on Arthur Schwartz, there should be no issue at all. There are no issues except, you know, regular lawyer paperwork stuff, and that $200,000. You know, I already earmarked it to give the whole thing to the national office towards central service, and then they can use it to pay some of the major bills that they have. So that's the one thing that, you know, that, you know, helping us. The idea of this budget is really to get this thing going until this COVID is over, and then, you know, generate that $200,000 to help the national office maintain itself, get the audit done, and hopefully a year from now, a year and a half from now, we will start getting some CPD money. So that is, hence, the idea of the 52 weeks to maintain and keep listenership. You know, and it's been a lot of work because it's a daily work. Even though you have the flat schedule for preemption already, it's a weekly, daily, what are we going to put there that matches the time? I mean, for example, especially now, you have a lot of political issues going on, so what political premium are going to work as opposed to, you know, Christine Blasdale or something like that. So that's what we've been doing daily to try to keep it going. And then thank you all for mentioning that, you know, management has been trying its best to give you a budget that as realistic as possible, but yet, you know, we'll have a deficit.